before I even pray, I just want to recap. Things we've learned so far in season one of For Pete's Sake. First thing we learned is genuine faith comes with various trials. Genuine faith comes with various... Some people say, oh, I got faith until it's put to the test. Is it genuine? I've seen a lot of people go, I trust God. And all of a sudden they lost $50. They're like, I hate everyone. Okay. What happened? I thought you trusted in God, man. Genuine faith comes with various trials. Genuine faith is precious. Say precious. Yeah, genuine faith is precious. That's what he wants, right? We are a church. This is another thing we learned. Who is working on living as God instructs, right? Because God has order. That was last week's service. There's order. Sometimes there's bosses in our lives, and whether they're good or bad, we have a job to do. And that could be a challenge sometimes, right? If you're naturally rebellious like me, that's often a problem. I got to get that taken care of in my life, and I have over the course of years. But when I was a young guy, that was, don't tell me what to do, ever. Do you know what to do? No, but don't tell me. See how that could be a problem? That was a problem. We also learned where to change. Like we have, if we're Christians, we come to Jesus, then there has to be a change, right? Change to what blesses the groom, not us. We're going to talk about that smidgen today. The groom, God. So let me pray. Holy Spirit, I pray that you just move on this difficult piece of scripture, that I would do such a great job that you wouldn't be offended with me, that they wouldn't be offended with me, no one be offended with me. But Lord, I pray that I would deliver it in a way that you want it delivered. And it would sink deep into our bones. In Jesus' name, amen. Say for Pete's sake. Yeah, this is Pete's sake. If you did read ahead, if you know what's coming, this is a continued letter from the church for the church. Say, I am the church. Now, honestly, this episode could be, in all seriousness, very uncomfortable for some people. And I'm serious. Like, what I do for a living is not this. I'm a professional marriage and family counselor. I'm the co-progenitor of Ethos Counseling. We've been doing marriage counseling since before most of you were around, 20 plus years. So I'm going to be pouring some of that into this too. I want to pour some of that because honestly, this is a tough subject. This episode could be uncomfortable for all of us. Because you know why? One reason? We're not perfect. We're not perfect. You're not perfect, she's not perfect, he not perfect, not perfect. Only one perfect one. What was his name? There you go, only one perfect one. Right? Only one, right? So this could be a little uncomfortable because we're not perfect. We're going to have something step on our toes, right? But we also have stuff to work on and we know it. Got stuff to work on, right? So I'm going to try and cover today's scripture very well. I want you to eat the chicken and spit out the bones. You know, you get chicken wings, you like chicken wings. You don't eat the whole wing unless you're Samoan. You don't do that. I've seen him crack open the wings. My first met Apostle John, he gave his two-year-old, Moses, I gave him a nickname called Evie Moa, which means chicken bone in Samoan. But he's feeding this two-year-old chicken wings, which made me nervous, honestly, because I'm kind of I was in the emergency medical field at that time, and I was like, this is crazy choking hazard possibility. This kid's walking around with chicken. But then he cracked it open when he was done so he could suck the marrow out. I said, sending away this boy with broken chicken wings. Excellent. You guys are hardcore. I'm not asking you to be hardcore today. I'm saying eat the chicken, spit out the bones. No crack in the marrow this morning. Not going to do that. I want to cover it well, though. I really do. Sometimes, I don't know if you know this, but there are issues between God and people. I don't know if you know anybody that's ever had an issue with God. I know that's a rare thing. No one ever blames God for anything. No one's upset if anything outcome happens in our life, tragic or happy. None of us ever get upset with God, so I know I'm not talking to us. But some people, have you heard that some people have before in their lives since it happened? Okay. Happens. And sometimes, shockingly, there are marital issues. Yeah. I know, I have a counseling practice. Trust me, it's true. Even in the church, you want to hear something staggering? For years, the divorce rate has been the same or higher than the world. The same or higher than. 76% of married couples that are Christian recognize themselves, check the box, as Christian. 76% of married couples are unhappy in their marriage. 76%. So say, for example, I heard this great analogy before. Say, for example, I told you there's a 76% chance when you walk out the gate someone's going to hit you in the head with a baseball bat. Well, grab a helmet, but there's only a 76% chance. A lot of you be walking out with helmets, right? There's a 76% chance. That's a high chance. That's not a good number. Unhappy marriage, unhappy Christians is not a good number. It doesn't represent very well. There's issues, right? So it's very important to consume this letter for Pete's sake because it's scripture. We'll start right there. But also, I think we, the church, as his bride, we can learn something from this passage of scripture too. So today, obviously, single folks can now easily correlate any issue they have with God the groom this morning. This is not a marriage sermon this morning. If you're a Christian, you are part of the bride of Christ. And I guarantee we could do a better job. I guarantee. So we the married, though, raise your hand if you're married. I'm going to pick on us a lot. A lot. We have to hear it in two levels. We have to hear it as we are the bride of Christ all together. But we also can't just metaphorically sweep it away because he's also talking about marriage. Oh, it's just the bride of Christ and me and my groom. Yeah, you need to think about that. And how are you as the bride of Christ to your groom? Please, this morning, correlate that. But if you're married, just don't only correlate that. That's all I'm saying. So honestly, as marriages, we got to do a way better job of showing the world God's love in our lives. And our marriages should be reflecting how good God is. That's one of the purposes. To say, hey, this is how it's supposed to work. That's why it's under such attack, right? Part of our problem often is God's love and God's ways are not genuinely practiced at home. God's love and God's ways aren't practiced at home. So Peter's main theme is going to be this slide right here. Home is the first place that we should practice our Christianity. Home is the first place that we should practice Christianity. That's the very first place we should practice that, right? And here we have Peter's God's rock, right? Peter's teaching is the bedrock for pastors in the church. So this is coming from a pretty reliable source in the Holy Ghost, right? And so it feels very important to address the church now on some possible areas that you and I could improve on, for Pete's sake. Any married couples, this is going to be uncomfortable for a lot of people. I don't usually do this. Please don't be mad at me. If you are, write your complaints on a $50 bill and stuff them in that thing back there. I would like all the men on this side of the church and all the ladies on this side of the church, if you could do it in the next 20 seconds, go. I'm not kidding. Kenny, you're in the wrong spot. Men over here, women over there. If you can't move because you got a device or move, it's okay. Do you know this is how in Hebrew culture, this is actually how they teach. In Hebrew culture, this is, you can stay over there if you want. Yeah. Hebrew culture does this a lot. I'm not doing it because of Hebrew culture. I swear on the Bible to tell the truth that I know, so help me God this morning. I'm only going to share the truths I know, okay? I attempt with some discourse, I'm going to use biblical exposition, practical experiences, and I believe these next scriptures are so very important and also some of the most misunderstood and least worked on scriptures in the church. The bottom line, I believe this patch is both the most abused and most misused. So, like, I wanted to avoid it. It's like, yay, that's not a way to build a church. But for Pete's sake, this series is for Christian people. Say, I'm the church. So, Christian, married or alike, we are both his bride. Together, we're the church. So, we have a saying here at New Season. I got a slide. We have a saying. Healthy individuals. Are you an individual this morning? All of you that are human and breathing are an individual this morning. Healthy individuals make healthy marriages. What makes healthy marriages? Healthy individuals. So this morning we're talking to individuals. Almost every morning, almost every Sunday morning, I'm talking to individuals, our individual relationship with God. And not once do the married people go, well, that's not for me. I'm not an individual. I don't want single folks going, that's not me. I'm not a married folk. Not today. You're an individual. And your health matters. And this is important between you and God. Healthy individuals make healthy marriages. Healthy marriages make healthy families. Healthy families make healthy churches. And healthy churches change the world with God's love. That's what we're about, right? So it's some things that you got to do that's uncomfortable. I don't want to go to the doctor and have him tell me, hey, you're fat. You need to lose weight. That makes me uncomfortable and sad and could be offensive. It's truth. And if he can't tell me, who can? Right? If he can't tell me, who can? So we talk a lot about individual things and health. So we all, especially married people, one of our prime directives, for Pete's sake, is to show bride love to God. And I think sometimes at the church, we get in more give me love mode than we are to give love mode. Anybody's most of your prayers praise, or they're asking them for things? Seriously, so that's a balance, right? Is it most of your time with God worship and praise, or most of your prayer time is asking for other people's things, for good things in the world, right? So I think sometimes that's out of balance. I wouldn't want a relationship like that. I would like love in return, right? And from God's perspective, this is also he's talking to the church, okay? All right. So applying the Bible in our lives. Here we go. We're going to go to 1 Peter here in a second. It's a big reflection of what God wants to do in his church. And husband and wives equally have hard issues to talk about today. Both. The hard part, ethos, marriage counseling. To talk about marriage behind the pulpit, I know 76% of marriages are damaged or at least delicate to tread upon. And that's hard. Wives and ladies, I promise you, I will be harder on the men. Promise you that. And the men are like, yay. But you know, I feel I have to be. It's not just me being man and a man's pastor and ooh, that's who, okay. But that's not it. It's because we have a greater responsibility. And our culture teaches us to shirk responsibility, but that's not the church. We are uncivilized. We take responsibility, and God's given us some. So, Lord, help me do this well today. Say, Pastor, do a good job. All right. 1 Peter 3, 1 through 6. We the bride. In the same way, you wives, say wives. And I'm not going to be going real fast through here, Chantel. Wives, be submissive. You know, every time I read that, I think it's a Foreigner song. You're as cold as ice. Don't use that word. Move on. Don't say it out loud again. Wives, be submissive. Don't say it. Wives, God, don't say it. I know, but please, I want you to not turn me out. Hear me before you think you know what I'm going to say. Remember, I'm going to be harder on husbands. Way harder. The word submission is a place we should start because you know what it means? Here's the Greek word. It's hupotasso. Say hupotasso. I say Greek like an Italian would. I don't know. Hupotasso. Hupotasso. You know? Say hupotasso. It's Greek and it means a voluntary yielding. Voluntary yielding. Submit means to voluntarily yield. For the Bible tells you to. It is abused all the time because we have tyrannical and weak and selfish men. It is abused all the time because we have tyrannical and weak, selfish men. It is abused all the time because we have tyrannical and weak, selfish men. That's why. The Bible tells us. Still wives, with that being said, that's not a loophole to not practice Christianity at home. So to the unmarried, I'd say be careful who you marry. I have a young couple that's getting ready to get married, and I'm going to pick on them because I love them, and they're doing a great job, from what I can see. Where's Caitlin? Is she teaching? She's back there hiding on me. Good, good, good. I've never once in my in present conversation with you and your sweetie, Cody. I've never once seen you degrade him or belittle him because he's come to Jesus a little bit after you have. I've never seen that from you. And I've seen that inspire him to go to men's ministries more than I do, to go to conferences in the woods, to read his Bible. See that? I've seen that. I've seen that. Often, it's abused, this word submit. It's truly abused. For one reason, you can't force someone to submit. You know, often I've heard, she won't submit to me. It's like, I want to reach across the table and slap you too. Abuse, tyrannical man. I'm going to get into, there's a voluntary yielding. And there needs to be, actually. Hupotasso, submit. It's those called to yield and don't properly is also abuse. So when you don't properly yield, that's also abuse. We don't like to think of it that way. So both topics are going to be pretty sensitive. Submit. Hupotasso is not just for wives. This could mess up some people's theology. I'm all about that. Hupotasso, for Pete's sake, is mutual. Say mutual. I'm going to sneak peek us through James in a little bit about marriage for a small second. But can I ask just wives and members of the bride of Christ? I'm only talking to wives and if you're a Christian. I want you to be honest as humbly as I can. I really want you to take a second. How is your yielding going? How's your yielding going? If God says to you, leave your family and move to Chicago all by yourself, you going to yield? Yield ain't going so good, is it? What? What if he told me to do that, it would be so hard because you know I don't like massive amounts of people. Like, Lord, don't send me to Chicago ever. I could never go there and be happy. But what if he said it? What if he said the opposite? Some of you extroverts, I need you two months on an island, this really small island in the middle of the ocean, and you're not going to have cell phone service, and I need you working there. Are you submissive then? I think we should ask ourselves, you know, I don't know. I don't know, are you being difficult at home and you don't have to be? You know, the big fat Greek wedding, I'm the neck that turns the head. That's not healthy. Don't be the neck. That's funny in Greek wedding, but it's not funny in real life. Are you overcritical? That's a problem in most marriages that come in. There's an overcritical spirit. Degrading? How about mostly self-focused? It says, give a 3-second salah, but I'm afraid if you do, you'll leave. See, this is a letter. This is a letter for the church. We are his church, right? So I ask his church, I'm asking the church now, how are we doing at yielding to the groom? Man, we could use some work. I could use some work, right? I want to ask us, how are we doing? So when he speaks, how about this? When he speaks, or maybe if you're married, your husband speaks. You could. I want you to hear both. So just, do you interrupt because you know what he's going to say already? Isn't that our prayer life? Lord, speak to me. And la, 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 speak. I never hear from you. Ba, 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 ba. Do we listen to what's being said and then know perfectly well I'm going to ignore what they're saying? I'm going to do it my way. I'm the neck. I'm the bride of Christ. Do we do what blesses him? Does it even matter to us anymore what blesses him? I know how I like to carve out comfortable niches in my life. How about this one? Are you truly a safe place for your husband to even talk? These are real things. I'm not going to stay there long. Do our words and our tones and our attitudes reflect to our spouse God's love for him? I could get better. I could get better. 1 Peter 3:1-6. Wives, submit, hupotasso, to your own husbands. Here's something that I've seen in the course of growing up. Once I got saved and was in the church, I saw things like this. I pick out your own husbands only for this fact. Don't be more helpful to pastor than you are to your spouse. Don't be more helpful to pastor than you are to, don't be more helpful to your work boss than you are to your spouse. I know, this is uncomfortable. I told you it would be uncomfortable. Like, you should have stayed in Tulsa. Say, Hubitasso. Submit not as inferior. What? Submit not as inferior. Submit not as inferior. Submit not as inferior. Husbands, tyrannical leaders, selfish rulers, submit but not as inferior. The problem is they lock women in this inferior role and it's garbage. We're equal partners in this race. He says it. Breaking stuff up this morning. Submit not as inferior. Say not as inferior. Say for Pete's sake, stop the abuse. Submit not as inferior, but out of respect. Here's my little cold as ice symbol right here in this sentence. Ready? Number one problem has been finding respectable husbands. We got to grow ourselves up into the men of God we're supposed to be and stop playing around in our boyhood. It's time. And that means taking on responsibility. How do you still honor them? Just like last episode, we talked about honoring authorities. How do we still honor them? How can we respect the position even if the person is lacking? Are we even called to do that? I know how I'm built. I would prefer, honestly, I feel respect is better when it's earned. I don't pass out respect. I don't pass out trust. I'm not that guy. You know, I'm like not as bad as Greek mythology. Do the seven things to capture, and then you can, no, but there's a process for me to trust. It's based on my temperament and how I was raised. And so for me to honor somebody that I don't feel has earned that honor is hard for me. That's a Sean Capozzi issue. I've done it, but I've had to learn a lot of lessons along the way and to do it. He's given me some very difficult bosses in my life because I needed them. God needed to work something out in me, right? Respect for the responsibilities entrusted to husbands. Some of these responsibilities are coming out today. And honestly, for Pete's sake, we all could use a tune-up. Entrusted to husbands and their accountability, say accountability, entrusted to husbands and their accountability to God. Husbands have accountability to God. And we're going to talk about what those accountabilities are, what he expects in our relationships maritally and with the church. Right? Accountable in how they live. We got to be accountable how we live, man of God. I look over here, I keep thinking, where are the, I did this to you. Right? We got to be accountable how we live our everyday life. Not what you say with your mouth, but what do you look at on your phone? Stop. Accountable to live as. That means we have to change things that aren't. We have accountabilities, responsibilities. How to live, accountability, how to love. There's a way and how he expects us to love. Well, that's not how I was raised and that's not my temper. That's too bad, too sad. You're a Christian, you're born again, you're a dead man. Your life is not your own. There's a way that you're supposed to love. Accountable in how we lead our homes. There's an accountability in how we live, how we love, and how we lead our homes. So I'm going to ask wives, just wives for a second. I'm not going to look at your eyes and catch your souls. How's your hupotasso going? How's hupotasso going in your life? Husbands, how are you living, loving, and leading? How are you living, how are you loving, and how are you leading? Back to the scripture. And so partnering with them so that, see, God's word's talking about, for a second, wives here. He's saying, talking about wives here. So that even if some husbands do not obey the word of God, they may be won over to Christ without discussion, but by the godly lives of their wives. So here's the summarization of that thought. Ready? Your personal godliness is all you can control. first of all. And God says, just be what you believe and love like I showed you to. And I don't need your words to change his life. I need your life to change his life. See, in marriage counseling and ethos, we often see, Dr. Henry and I, that wives feel like the responsibility is to critique their husband to greatness. You won't find that in the scripture. It doesn't say that. I know that's hard, but it doesn't say that. It says, but the godly, even if your husband is not living a godly life, you can control what? Your godliness, your attitude, and your actions. And the word says, if you do those things, I don't even need your words. I'd prefer we didn't use them anyways, right? Say, your job, oh goodness, your job is all you can do. So you can do your job, right? Your conduct and your love is supposed to impact your husbands for Christ, even if they know him. When they see your modesty, pull over there too for just a second. I keep hearing the Billy Joel song, honestly, but it's modesty, such a lonely word, and every bit so untrue, right? For Pete's sake, in our culture, public modesty is under fire, right? It is. Modesty is not a thing you want to talk about, right? When they see your modesty and respectful behavior, you know, I realized a few years ago that most sitcoms paint husbands as idiots. Or worse, you'll see good men run over time after time. You know, I see that in the church 76% of the time too. When they see your modesty and respectful behavior together with your devotion to God and to your husband in word and deed, because for Pete's sake, faithfulness, honestly, is a covenant between husbands and wives and God and the church. It's not a one-way street. Devotion's not a one-way street. With your devotion and appreciation, number one ethos complaint from husbands, they definitely feel underappreciated many times. The marriage lacks. And when they feel loss of appreciation, loss of priority, they often begin to step back. With your devotion and appreciation, wives, appreciate and love your husbands. Don't be in competition. Like, don't be in competition with your spouse. You're a team. Don't be in competition with your spouse. Good marriage is more like gardening, for Pete's sake. You got to cultivate that person, right? Do we know what his needs are and what he even desires? Do we even ask that question to God anymore, let alone our spouse? Right? It says, enjoy him as a blessing from God. If you got a good one, ladies, or even a mediocre one, seriously, if you got a good one or a mediocre one, please encourage and appreciate him and see if you can't move him up the scale. The perk is, if you have a thick-skulled Ninny Muggins at home and he sees your love, even those kind of fellows can become Christians, right? It's true. Ask ourselves, wives, can I grow in this area? Is this an area that you can grow in? I don't know if you can or can't. That's between you and the Lord and you and your husband, but I do know as the church we can grow. First Peter continued. Let your adornment must not be merely external. I've seen this abused in some denominations. Women can't have makeup and clothes and jewelry. And you want to wear sackcloth and ashes? That's not what they're saying. This is not merely. It doesn't say don't have those things, but don't be about that. Don't be that the number one priority of your life. How I look. You're mean as snot, but I'm. Not merely external with interweaving of hair and elaborate knotting of the hair and wearing gold jewelry and dressing in expensive clothes, but let it be the inner beauty of the hidden person of the heart. How much of our beauty is actually lavished on him? Him or your him, right? Wives, with the impressionable quality and unfolding charm of a gentle and peaceful spirit. If we are not this, just maybe it's time to put some more effort in. If you're not a gentle and quiet spirit, I'm not a gentle and quiet spirit. I need to put effort in. I have two volumes, really quiet or really loud. Don't need to amen that. It's time to do some work for Pete's sake. That's what Pastor Sharon just said. He says, how about this? One that is calm. Anybody? Anybody? One that has self-control. Not over anxious. Help me, Lord. But serene and spiritually mature. Now that one I believe about every wife. You know why? In my practice, men mature at a smaller rate than women. They mature way before we do. So I go, yeah, they're probably killing it right there, you know? Which is very precious in God's sight. All those things. He didn't talk about husband right there. He said all these things you could do for your husband, and he laid out, Bob, you could be like this, and you could be like this, and you could be like this. And then he said, if you do those things, it's precious to me. I know his bride has some work to do. It's time to ask ourselves, do I live this at home? For in this way, the former times, the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, being submissive to their own husbands and adapting themselves to them. Just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, following him and having regard for him as head of their house, calling him Lord. And you have become their daughters if you do what is right, without being frightened by any fear, that is. Being respectful toward your husband. Being respectful toward your husband. But not giving into intimidation. Whoa, balance. But not giving into intimidation, tyrant. Not giving into intimidation, nor allowing yourself to be led into sin, nor to be harmed. You know how often I've seen that abuse? I told the woman this. Don't. You shouldn't have told her that. You were wrong. Why? That's abuse. That's not submission. You forced her to do something that was against her moral fiber. It's on you, sir. Submission is not a tyrannical word, but it is an important one. If we don't learn how to voluntarily submit, married ladies, at times, it's going to be a problem. And guys, if we're not respectful enough, why would they want to submit to us anyway? I think I have a slide just to drive it home. Submission was never meant to serve tyranny. Submission was never meant to serve tyranny. Hupotasso, say voluntary yielding. For Pete's sake, sometimes we should yield. Right? I've gotten way better at yielding over the course of time, but I was never great at yielding. You know, just not good at it. God had to work that in me. He still has to work that in me. Hupotassos just yield to one another sometimes for Pete's sake. Why not? We know that husbands have work to do, but I want you wives to check on your desired wife status. You take it to Jesus. Ladies, you can clap now because I'm about to leash onto them. Your time is over. You're safe. You're fine. You can hang around, get a coffee. You're great. But before we go back to Peter, I just want to jump into Ephesians. Say, husbands, this is Ephesians 5:21. This is they're talking a husband and wife relationships in this chapter, okay? It says, and further, submit, that same word as hupotasso, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. What? Submit to my wife. Yes, sometimes you better. Why? Because she's smarter in that situation than you, and she's been thinking about it and praying about it, and she's got good advice, and she's your helpmate, and you're just being stubborn. I'm the man. Yeah, you're being stupid. Welcome to 76% of unhappy marriage. Ding! Drop the mic, go home, Pastor Sean. Get back on stage, settle down. And furthermore, submit one to another out of reverence. And we'll jump down to 25, say husbands. 25 through 29, great, you guys are crushing it back there. Husbands, love your wives. Husbands, seek the highest good for her. 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 Who are you seeking the highest good for? Her. Don't be pushing the submission button unless you're seeking that as good for her. Take your finger off the button, bro. Husbands, seek the highest good for her and surround her with caring, unselfish love. I won't make them raise their hand if they haven't felt caring, unselfish love in a while, but if I bet you there's a degree of them that haven't. See, that's on us. Just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. Gave himself up for her. You know, the majority of the time, really, husbands, is us laying our lives down, submission for her. That's really more the job. It's not how you get to be in control and you get to guide your family. You're the leader. You're the man. No. God put a responsibility in because he thought he could trust you with acting just like him. So that he might sanctify the church, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in glorious splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and set apart for God and blameless. Even so, husbands, say husbands. Husbands should and are morally obligated to love their own wives as their own body. Husbands should and are morally obligated. This is God's opinion. Morally obligated to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own body, but nourished, protects, and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church. I want to pop down to verse 33. Did I give that to you, Chantel? Verse 33 up there. Yeah, you're crushing it. However, say for Pete's sake. However, that's what this means. For Pete's sake, we should know this. Each man among you without exception. Is there an exception? Each man without exception among you is to love his wife as his very own self. Love her with behavior worthy of respect and esteem. How do you love her? Love her with behavior. You want to be respected? You want to have scoopitasso in your life? You want to have a better than the 76% marriage? Love her so she can do that. Yeah. Love her so she can do that. Well, I do that every day and it doesn't happen. You can only control you. Doesn't change the word. Love her with behavior worthy of respect and esteem. Always seeking the best for her. How often do we seek the best for our wives? Always. What about this circumstance? Always. What about that circumstance? Always. We have the greater responsibility. Always seeking the best for her. Oh, not just seeking the best for her, and then you had to throw this in. With an attitude of loving kindness. For Pete's sake. For Pete's sake, it should be easier for her to hupitasso me if I do that. You can get instruction, but without loving kindness, it doesn't really go over very well. See that she respects and delights in her husband. Honor him and love him. Find joy in him. That she notices him. Trust me, Ethos Counseling note again. Most husbands just want to be noticed. We are very fragile beings. We are fragile. We want to be handsome. We want to smell good. We want to be the hero. We want, right, come up. They're all going, Pastor, it's not men's meeting. What goes out of men's meeting stays in men's meeting. They want to be noticed, just like God. He wants to be noticed every day. And she prefers him. Is he her number one choice? And treats him with loving concern, treasuring him, honoring him, and holding him dear. All of us as bride, how are we doing? Right. 5 quick recaps. Wives, how's your hupitasso? 2, how's everyone's hupitasso? Wives, can your husband see God's 1 Corinthians love towards him in you? Bride of Christ, is he really our top priority? 1 Peter 3:7. In the same way, you husbands live with your wives in an understanding way. You know how men say, I just don't get her? Yeah, you can't. She's female. You're not built that way. Try to have some understanding. We're different. They're different. In the same way, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, with great gentleness and tact. Tact is rarely seen in the husband combination. Tact is not what we're great at. That's not an excuse that we got to work on our tact and our gentleness. They're laughing way too much on that side of the room. I'm just saying. And with intelligent regard for the marriage relationship, show your girl. Show her. Show her, right? As with someone physically weaker, since she's a woman, show her honor and respect as a fellow heir of the grace of life. Say honor, respect. It's supposed to go both ways. See, it wasn't just honor, respect. It's honor, respect. Show her honor, respect as a fellow heir of the grace of life so that your prayers, he's talking to husbands right here, this should shake our tree. This one sentence should shake your tree, man, so that your prayers will not be hindered or ineffective. What? How can my prayers be hindered and ineffective if you're not taking care of her? God ain't answering prayer. Check on your relationships. Start with him and then work your way down. God cares about individuals. God cares about marriages. God cares about his church. And he, for Pete's sake, cares about us representing him well. 1 Peter 3:8-12. Finally, say for Pete's sake, finally, all of you should be of one mind. Can you imagine that? Golly. If we're all like that, everyone would be Bills fans. So I know, I'll move on. Finally, all of us should be of one mind. Sympathize with each other. You know what we're called as a community, husbands and wives and the church? We're called to hurt and heal together. We're called to hurt together sometimes. We've been through hurt here. I'd rather done it together with you than without you. And I know for the sake of my own life, some of the healing I have had in my life directly come from my relationship with you. We have to hurt and heal together a little better. Love each other as brothers and sisters. Love like you can't lose it. Love like your family. Be tenderhearted and keep a humble attitude. Be tenderhearted and keep a humble attitude. H Life is practice at home. We're the church now. Don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back. No, I just paused there just for fun. Are you paying attention? Instead, pay them back. I was like, yeah, and we end right there. Yeah, pay them back. Don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. What? Homeboy's talking trash and you're saying bless him? That is not the hood in me. Oh, no. Pay him back with a blessing. What about if it's your spouse having a bad day and they're awful grouchy at you? Do you go, okay, good, I've been waiting for this moment because I'm pointing this out. You were grouchy. Remember last week when I was grouchy? You just chewed me up. You be grouchy now. Here's the 14 things you did today. No, no. Pay her back with a blessing. Pay him back with a blessing. Pay them back with a blessing that is what God has called you to do. And he'll grant you his blessing. For the scriptures say, if you want to enjoy life and see many happy days. Anyone want to enjoy life and see many happy days? That's good. That's all of us. I love it. If you want to enjoy life and see many happy days, then for Pete's sake, keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn away from evil and do good. Search for peace and work to maintain it. Search for peace and then do the work to maintain it. It's time to get working on our relationships like never before. Well, I want that number to change. 76% is not acceptable. Not only do I not want the divorce rate to equal the world, I want the happiness of marriage in the church to increase. Why? Because I want them to see what God looks like. So I better work on me if that's going to work. I got work to do. Search for peace and maintain it. The eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the Lord turns his face against those who do evil. 1 Peter 3:13-17. Now, who will want to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you suffer for doing what is right, God will reward you. So don't worry. Say, don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry when you clean the toilet seat and your wife didn't say, "Wow, you did such a great job cleaning the toilet seat." Don't worry, God saw it. It's okay, Jody. God saw it. Even if Randy didn't notice, it's okay. Don't worry. Don't worry or be afraid of their threats. Instead, say for Pete's sake, instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if someone asks about your hope as a believer, they should be asking us, actually. So he's preparing us for show and tell. Always be ready to explain it. I think this is the season the church has got to stop hiding from opportunities to share the gospel. I'm not saying do it with megaphones and be rude because there's a way to communicate and it gets in here. But I'll tell you right now, your life has been prepared to share the gospel with somebody this year. You want to see hell pillage? Bring somebody to Jesus with your life this year. Not your words, your life. Invest in somebody this year to find Jesus, who he really is and who you found him to be. Right? Always be ready to explain it. But do this in a gentle and respectful way. All right, how you serve a meal matters, right? This is another ethos thing. You guys are getting free counseling today. You should be very grateful. I have a great steak. T-bone. Marinated all night long. Right? I'm grilling it up real nice. I can put a butter knife through it. And I'm going to serve this one to the ladies. And I throw it in their face, and it bounces off their chest and hits the ground and rolls around where my dog was sleeping. I couldn't give them an analogy because they would still eat it. But I just took a good meal and served it real badly. Nothing wrong with the steak. The service was the problem. How about if I took that same steak, guys, and I blended it up into a liquid? Oh, yeah, they're like, "Master, no." Sometimes that's how it is. Sometimes our marital conversations is, I told you, we've had this conversation 1,000 times. I'm going to say it 50 more times. You get it? Oh, no, I got the steak earlier. I've got truth. Submit. Boom. Whoa. We serve steak really badly in the church. It's a good meal. The gospel is the best meal that's ever been served. The problem isn't with the gospel. It's with the service. That's why he's working on 1 Peter 3. That's why he's working on 1 Peter 3. Keep your conscience clear. Then if people speak against you, they'll be ashamed. Ashamed when they see what a good life you live because you belong to Christ. Remember, it's better to suffer for doing good, if that's what God wants, than to suffer for doing wrong. Say, for Pete's sake, we know that. For Pete's sake, we know that. 3:16. And, for Pete's sake, and see to it that your conscience is entirely clear. What? Entirely clear? That means I got to spend time with you on a regular basis asking you about me. I got to have a clear conscience. So that every time you are slandered or falsely accused, those who attack you and your behavior will be ashamed. It's better that you suffer unjustly than God's will than to suffer justly for doing wrong. 1 Peter 3:18-22. Christ suffered for our sins once for all. He never sinned, but he died for sinners. Died for sinners to bring them safely home to God. He suffered physical, but he was raised to life. You know, I wonder if we got this one vision as husbands and as men in the body of Christ. What if our job was to only speak life to them? What if that's all we ever spoke? What kind of resurrection would there be? What kind of resurrection would there be right across the aisle from us even? Our own sisters, or our own wives, or our own. What if we went out of our way to do that? So take someone from hell this year and then go encourage somebody that you're supposed to encourage with your words too. So that he went and preached to the spirits in prison, those who disobeyed God long ago. There's a lot of stuff I could teach through here, but I'm not gonna. I feel like the bottom of the scripture, and we'll jump down, and I want to say, it says the angels and the authorities and the powers accept his authority, what Jesus has done. And as Christians, right, we also, as saying a Christian, we've accepted his authority. So when his authority tells us to do something, we should honestly write supitasso to do it. So for Pete's sake, episode 3, he's pointing out stuff. Will we respond to it? Now, I'd like the men, you don't have to get up from your seat, but if you could put your hand on each somebody, touch a guy next to you, and then you touch a guy next to you. Touch a guy, touch a guy. And ladies, would you mind doing the same thing? We are the church. And how people see him is directly reflected in how they see us. Our relationships, how we live, how we move, how we have our being. And I want to see that change this year in such a great way. This is honestly my favorite church. And some of the men here are incredible. And some of the women here are so incredible. I want to pray for both of you. And you pray for one another. So ladies, I'm going to pray for the guys. And if you feel like praying for the guys, you can pray with me. And then I'm going to have them pray for you while you pray for each other. You ready? All right. Father, I thank you for the men of God in this house. I thank you that they are bold and strong and courageous, and they are gentle. And they yield when they're called to yield to you, and they speak life over their wives, Lord God, and over the women of this church, Lord God, like brothers. Father, I thank you that this year you'd stir in them, Father God, greater works within them, where they struggle in their masculinity, where they struggle, Father, in their service, where they struggle in their relationship. Lord God, I pray this year would be a year of breakthrough. The men of God would come forth and lead like never before, and it would start at home. Father, homes would be impacted this year. This would be the year that homes are so impacted, Lord, the church has no place to put everybody on one service just because of what the men of God are doing. Touch them, Lord. They would not feel shame or condemnation today. They would feel inspired, encouraged, and uplifted to greatness. You've assigned them a responsibility because you believe in them, Lord, that your will be done in the men of God this year. In Jesus' name. All right, guys, you can stretch your hands towards these ladies. Father, I thank you for the women of God. I thank you they've been devoted and faithful. Whoever, Father, they have lack, or you're poking their buttons today, Lord, you would soothe it and heal it quickly. Lord, they would feel equal, respected, and loved, and co-heirs of your goodness. Lord, and I pray the love that you naturally have given them would impact beyond their families. You start bringing people into their lives that they could bride all over. Lord, and I thank you that the women of God will stand up this year, Lord God, and be counted, and be seen, and be recognized. And Father, we commit as the men of God to seek the best for them. We commit to seek the best for them. At all costs, Father, we commit to seek the best for them, that they would have the best this year, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I appreciate you letting me take you through a whole book. We're almost finished with 1 Peter. For Pete's sake, it hasn't been easy, but I hope it's been valuable. I hope it's been valuable. Father, release the church in your name. They will go back and enjoy each other today. Families would rejoice. Husbands and wives would connect, Father, that people would feel loved and part of family wherever they go today. And Lord, anytime you run us into a non-believer, help us do a really great job of showing that love genuinely. In Jesus' name, amen.